Okay, I'd like to call to order the regular meeting of the Town of Discovery Board of Directors. Will we please all rise and join Brian Gateau in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Can I get roll call, please?
Roll call to begin. Let the record show all members are present.
Fantastic. This is where we give the public an opportunity to make public comments on any items that are not agendized on the agenda. If there's anything that anybody would like to speak about, let me check first with online. We have at least an individual or two. Is there anybody online that has their hand up? If you want to speak, please put your hand up.
Nope.
Okay, anybody in the room that'd like to speak, please come to the podium.
For those who don't know, I'm Leonard Warren, the fourth name on the ballot. I made this request one of the first in-person meetings you had after the pandemic, and I don't see it making progress, so I'm going to ask again that you televise the meetings, and I don't mean just live streaming, because a lot of people need to be able to watch them later. Where I was on the board before, we were televising our meetings on the local cable channel called PEG, the public education and government channel in Alameda, Contra Costa County has one, I guess it's channel 24. And so we were televising our meetings on my other board since roughly 1998. And a lot of people watch. I tuned into your last meeting here on the phone, and it's pretty bleak not having video. If you don't know the people really well, you can't really tell who's speaking when there's presentations, and the slides are not in the packet. That presentation is useless for people with audio only. So I'm asking that you put some higher priority on getting meetings televised for on demand, not just live, and also that you much more rigorously make sure that anything that's handed out at the meeting, and anything that's presented that's not in the packet, that you get it up on the website as quickly as possible after the meeting. And I would like to remind the various staff that when you bring handouts, you have to bring some to the public. That's never been done in the meetings that I've been to here. There's never been an extra copy for the public.
Sir, okay, Leonard, I'm going to tell you right now that everything that's in our packet gets put back on that back table every meeting. But go ahead with your conversation.
Okay, that's all I have to say right now.
All right, thank you for that. Any other public comment? Okay, hearing none, I will close public comment. I'll move forward to the consent calendar.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. What's that?
Public comment.
On consent calendar?
And any action.
Okay, is there any comment on any of the items on the consent calendar by the public? Okay. Moving to area agency reports, I'm going to start with those that we have in the room. Lieutenant Johnson, you're up.
All right, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
All right, so you all should have gotten a copy of the reports of customer service. So for Discovery Bay, we took 51 reports. We had 354 calls for service. At a station house, we had 23 arrests. I'm still looking to replace Deputy Cody, who went to recruiting a few months ago. I will actually pick that deputy next week. It's between three, and all three are pretty good. I probably won't get that resident deputy until our shift change, which is probably going to be January. But I'm going to try again a little bit sooner, but we'll see. We're seeing another uptick in shoplifting again over at Sandy Cove. So I've assigned two of my senior deputies. I put them on it to come up with a plan. They'll be undercover. They'll be doing all kinds of different things out there. Because of the holidays coming up, we're going to see it get even worse. I meet with Bremen PD, and they're seeing a huge increase as well. So I don't want it to come out this way. I want to keep pushing it to the road. basically somewhere else.
Does that become kind of seasonal? With Christmas coming up and such, or?
It's nonstop, but typically during the holidays, you see a lot more.
Okay.
Yeah. Along with the package thefts, we had one this last month, but we'll start seeing that a bunch. So we really want people, when you see something suspicious, to call us. Even get the best description can of the car, because we can check our cameras and get a plate that way. But we don't know unless people are calling us to report it. So some of the highlights that we had this last month. We had a call for welfare check over off near Gold Creek Circle. We ended up contacting the individual. They had two warrants for their arrest. We had three different traffic stops around Highway 4 in Bixler, which resulted in a warrant arrest as well. We had one case where the deputy was behind the vehicle. The vehicle decided to even do some donuts, not seeing the deputy behind them. They were something to do with the stop and arrested for reckless driving.
Don't even bother buying a lottery ticket if you're that guy.
Right. Most of the reports are just kind of petty thefts, tows, that sort of thing. Probably the big case that we had was somebody made a report that somebody broke into the garage and stole a bunch of items. And they were on Facebook and saw their stolen items being sold. And they were actually able to zoom in and see that the serial number matched the one. Wow. So they were able to confirm that this person had the stolen items. It's a local criminal that we've dealt with, so our deputies ended up writing a search warrant and ended up hitting the house, I think, 2 weeks ago. And ultimately found stolen property from at least 10 different burglaries.
Wow.
All in unincorporated East County. From the Campos Winery and all over. So that was actually a very good case. All the deputies involved received commendations, because that was pretty good. But again, we were able to clear 10 different burglars that we had. And most of the burglars that we took were traced back to this one person. So I'm hoping to see a drop in crime. But other than that, knock on wood, things are going pretty good. So
I'm sorry, how many arrests did you say again?
So as a station house, we had 23.
23.
We had 8 specifically for...
8 in DB. Okay.
So let me just expound a little bit on, because it was in our complex that this occurred. It was actually the 28th of October, because it was the day before I left to go to Hawaii, and I think it was 29th. The cool part was is that because of all the people that had called in and reported what they had stolen and recorded serial numbers, from what I was hearing, it was almost like a swap meet back at this guy's house, and people were actually coming and retrieving their items.
Yeah.
Because they already had a record of them, they took pictures of them, that wasn't an evidence issue, and there was a dozen people that came back and identified items that were there and were able to take them back, because the guy was a good thief, but not a very good fence, because he kept everything. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
But it was a great collaborative effort between everybody to get a lot of that taken care of.
And one of the burglaries, we had a picture of the suspect, and he was wearing a mask or something. Well, the tattoo on his arm was the same as he had.
Well, no, here's the funny part. It's the guy, it was one of my neighbors. He got the picture of the guy's tattoo, and the guy came back 3 times. The second time he came back, he was wearing a sweatshirt, like we weren't going to see the tattoo the first time. And that's what we turned over to the police. And then I think his Facebook page, he's holding his little girl, and there's the tattoo on his Facebook, and
amazing.
The same shorts he was wearing. It was really an interesting thing. The good news is that because of the diligence of the sheriff's department, it started with like a $40,000 bail. By the time it got to the judge, it was $590,000 bail.
Now we'll see what happens. What's the DA files charges? What the
DA? You can only do what you can do. But thank you for that, because there's a lot of people in Discovery Bay. There was people that were actually hiring guards to guard their place because they were afraid of these issues.
Oh my
God. It was pretty bad. So thanks for that hard work on that. Appreciate that. The department did a great job. Anything else for Lieutenant Johnson? As usual, appreciate it. Thank you. Steven, are you on the line? Is Steven Griswold on the line? Okay. Is Tiffany Jones on the line?
She is.
She is? Hey, Tiffany, can you hear us?
She's self-muted.
Unmute yourself, please. Tiffany? We're not hearing you yet. If you're hearing us, please raise your hand.
Her hand is raised, but it still says self-muted.
Okay, unmute somehow your device. No? Tiffany? Any luck? I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how to give you any guidance on that. Keep working on that, Tiffany. Speak up if you can, if you get that figured out. And is Officer Johnson, Thomas, excuse me, Donnie, are you on the line?
No.
Okay. Tiffany, any luck?
It says it won't let me unmute.
It won't let you unmute.
That's what she said.
Okay. You can hear me, obviously, at this point.
So hey about technology.
But
do I click?
Can you call 925-250-8424, Tiffany. 925-250-8424. You there? Did you catch that number? 925-250-8424.
Good news is we're getting a new platform.
We are getting a new platform.
Tiffany, hi, this is Dina.
Go ahead and put it on.
Not that it helps right now,
would you want speakerphone? Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, not that we need one.
Okay, go ahead and talk. What do you got for us, Tiffany? We can hear you.
Hello, everyone.
Hey. Anybody have any questions?
Where's she located?
Where's your offices? Where are your offices located, Tiffany?
Yeah, so we're located in Fairfield. The Brentwood office, I think you guys know, probably office, but we would love to host some district days down there, and we're looking to do that in January. And so that's just a matter of coordinating with your staff and or local business to where we can physically come down there for a day. We really want to do that for you all.
Sounds great. We'll keep that in mind, and if you just get your contact information, if staff doesn't already have it, if we have any questions or not, we can always get a hold of staff. And if anybody's listening on the out there in internet land tonight, contact our town office if you have anything you need to talk to our assembly member about. All right. Appreciate it. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'll talk to you all soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Oh, I just hung up on her.
That's okay. So that's it for area agency reports. We have no presentations. Let's move on to F1, discussion possible action items. Item one is Luda. Oh, Oscar, are you on the line this time, Oscar?
He's on the line and showing not attentive.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. Hey, buddy, what's happening?
Yay.
That was much easier than earlier today. Glad to have you on the phone.
Yeah.
Go ahead and give us a brief update on or explanation as to what is going on with the water treatment plant at Willow Lake.
Yeah, so back in June, my colleague Jason Coleman presented the Willow Lake Water Treatment Plant built for #1 district project. And the alternative that was chosen was to install a new filter adjacent to the existing filter. So the new filter would be 2,200 GPM, and the existing filters are 850 GPM each. So for this phase one, the idea is to use the new filter and the existing filter B to meet the town's existing demands, and then in say 10 years, move into the phase two of the project and replace the ABC filters, or filters A, B, and C, with a larger 2,200 GPM filter. So the town would have two identical larger filters. Again, in 10 years or so to meet additional demands in the future, the next phase would be initiated. So we reached out to water treatment filter vendors, and the lowest responsive quote we received was from Low Crest, and that was for $420,000. So in the staff report, it includes the quote from Low Crest and the recommendation to work on our purchase with pre-purchasing that filter equipment through Low Crest. There is a long lead time for the filter, about 34 to 40 weeks. So the idea would be to purchase it now, and then construction wouldn't take place until fall of 2023 or early 2024. Also in the staff report is our scope of work and budget to design the project, so including all the electrical and structural, and so that was approximately $180,000, and the total project cost is about $1.4 million, which again includes the low price filter, the engineering services, design and construction services, and hiring a general contractor in the fall next year to install the filter and do all the piping and electrical and structural work for the project.
Great. Go ahead. No.
I think that's about it.
Okay.
If you had any questions or.
Sure. So first of all, I want to thank Oscar for stepping in. You guys remember, you know Jason, who usually does the reports here. He's not there because he had a baby girl in the last couple days named Alora Ruth Ann. And she came into the world at 21 and a half inches and 8 pounds, 15 ounces. And so we let Jason off the hook tonight. So Oscar's doing a fantastic job of standing in on a project that he really hasn't been intimately involved with, but that the Water and Wastewater Committee has known about now for about six,
wow.
Yeah, a few, we got presented with this probably 2 or 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And so we're familiar with it. Do you guys have any questions for Oscar? Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I said, hopefully an easy question, but it's in three parts. Are there filters that we're are replacing filters or adding on filters?
So we have three existing filters. They're each 850 GPM. So we'd be adding a new filter, which would be 2,200 GPM, and put the existing filter A and filter C offline and just move forward with using filter B and the new filter 1.
Second part, typically, what's the lifespan of the filter before we have to replace the, is it the elements or something?
Well, we've already replaced the media in all three of them?
Yep.
In one of them so far. Anthony will correct me if I'm wrong. This Oscar, we've had some discussions that you were not in the meetings with on this, so let me see if I can answer Brian's question a little. So the situation is that we're having a balancing problem. Newport, during certain times of the year, takes more or not enough or whatever, but there's a balancing problem between the two things. We have to increase our filter size here in order to help that balancing problem. Anthony, am I saying this correct? Or Aaron? I'm sorry, Aaron.
Okay. Yes, you're saying it correct.
Okay, thank you. See, Aaron's easier. He just says I'm right.
Good job, Aaron.
but that's what we're addressing here. It's a growth issue as we added some things to it, and so eventually we'll replace those three that are there with one other one, and it'll be much more efficient, and it'll be much more easier to maintain. You may recall that we just went through a big old maintenance project over at Newport on the existing big filter we have over there, which is about that same size. Right, Aaron, about 2,000 gallons?
2,000 gallons.
Yeah. So we're kind of bringing everything up to a standard. Remember that Willow Lake was built before Newport, and so now we're trying to...
No, thanks for refreshing my memory. I remember we had a balancing issue. I didn't realize this was going to be the solution to the balancing issue.
It is actually...
And it's future planning, too, because like the ultimate plan was to add another one, which will also help with the capacity for the other... subdivisions that are coming in the future. So, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's some other things that mechanically it's helping us get to, so we're
down the road.
Down the road, right.
Any other questions for Oscar, for clarifying questions? Mm-hmm. If I don't hear any, is there any public comment with regards to this issue? Online, anybody got a hand up?
No.
Okay, then I'll close public comment on this issue and bring it back to the board for further discussion. Or motion. First of all, Ashley, tell them. The committee recommends that we move forward with this.
We looked at it again today, and like Evan said, we recommend we move forward with this.
So hearing none, I would entertain a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
I make a motion to accept staff's recommendation to authorize Ludolf Scalmanini to provide design, construction, engineering service for Willow Water Treatment Plant Filter Number 1.
And I'll second.
And authorize the general manager to enter in a purchase contract with Lopress for a 2,200 gallon per minute filter vessel.
There's three there. So either say staff recommendation.
Authorize general manager. Okay, got that one. Form professional services not to exceed $180,095 plus 15% for contingencies for a professional service agreement with LSCE to provide design and construction. Did I get it all?
No. No, I don't think so.
Which one am I missing?
C.
Low press. Pre-purchase.
That's
C.
What I just said, though, no?
Okay.
To authorize general manager enter into a contract to purchase with low press for a 2,200 gallon GPM filter.
The motion is essentially the recommended action in the staff report on the agenda.
That would be
yes,
the
that would be it.
That would be the concise way of
that would be the easy way to do it.
What you said. Thank you.
Okay, there's a motion to accept staff's recommendation. Is there a second to that motion?
Yes, I will now second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, board. That's been a big item on our plate. Manager report, general manager, you have something you want to talk to us about.
I do. I'm actually...
Oh, wait. Officer Thomas, are you still on the phone? I'm sorry, sir. Donnie, are you there?
yourself, Officer
Thomas? Unmute yourself if you're there, Officer Thomas. Yes or no?
No.
You're not able to unmute him?
No, and he's self-muted.
It shows you're self-muted. We've had this problem a couple times tonight, Officer Thomas. Not sure if we can resolve it or not. We're changing platforms, Officer Thomas. This will not be happening in the future.
Much simpler.
Anything? Okay. Donnie, we appreciate you calling in. I think that we'll let you do a double report for us next month because we can't seem to get the communication working both ways. But thank you so much for being here. I'm sorry that, for the confusion, but we appreciate you, and we'll talk to you next month. Okay, General Manager's report.
So I'm going to turn this over to District Legal Counsel. He's going to explain to you SB 1439.
So the SB 1439 is new law. It's applicable to you all as directors of Town Discovery Bay. It's a new law because this only used to be applicable to state legislators, and now it's been come down into special districts as well. So what this law does is anytime that there's a party that comes before the board that is going to look for some sort of entitlement, like a permit, a license, or some sort of land use type of a like developments or annexations, things like that. So it's going to hit us in a few different ways. I'll get to those examples. But first thing to remember is that this is going to be applicable to donate or contributions to your campaign in excess of $250. So $251 or $250.01. Anything above $250. Who a party is party's either a business, is a person, and what the interesting part is somebody else that comes to the meeting that is a lobbying or in support of like an annexation, for example. And they're lobbying for the annexation, but they've also given you a contribution that exceeds $250. So some examples of how this is gonna affect us, because this is really premised on cities and land use, but for special districts, it does affect us. And it affects us in a few ways, like out-of-boundary water delivery agreements. So if we have to do an out-of-boundary water agreement, that's an entitlement to water. Same goes with wastewater. Any annexations, I'm thinking of the developments that are being contemplated and that are in the surrounding areas that are thinking about coming in. So any of those people that are involved or lobbying for or in support of that contribute, that's going to be a factor that you want to consider as a director, because what this new law requires you to do is to recuse yourself from any of these decisions that come before you. So not only do you have to recuse yourself, but you have to announce, I am going to recuse myself because I have taken a contribution in excess of $250 from, and then name the party that you took that contribution from. So there's a few limits on this as well, because there's a 12-month look-back period. So it's relevant now, because any contributions that any of the campaigns that are running right now, if you've taken $250 or in excess of $250, it's a good practice now to write these things down and to have a list of these people that you're taking contributions from. Because even though the law doesn't go into effect until January 1st of next year, the look-back period is going to encompass all of 2022. So there's ways to avoid this. One of the ways to avoid it is you can return the contribution, and you have to return the contribution within 30 days of when you know that there's going to be something on the agenda that's going to impact somebody's, or you should know. So there's no bright line on this, but if you see something on an agenda item and you want, and that agenda item comes out or you're anticipating it, the returning of the money would allow you to vote on or participate in the discussion. Because recusing yourself, you have to completely extricate yourself from that decision, and we always advise to leave the room as well, because that's belt and suspenders. So what does this mean for the town? What it means for the town is that town staff has no obligation to follow these things. We'll do everything we can to help, but this is a director. This is something you all are going to have to maintain as your as yourself. So if you have a conflict that's going to be applicable under this law, you just let us know. And if you have any questions, I encourage you to reach out to Dina. Dina will do best she can to answer those questions and work alongside with the rest of the staff to get an answer. But it's a new law that we're bringing out to all of the special districts that we work with, because the $250 threshold is such a low threshold, and it is going to impact all special districts to some extent.
Any questions from the? Yes, sir.
I have a question. So most of the decisions that the board would make regarding land use and things of that would be under their MAC responsibility. Since it's only a vote on a recommendation and a suggestion to the supervisor on how to proceed with a land issue, does it apply in that case?
So in that sense, good point, but in that sense you'd still be able to make an advisory decision. So because you're not binding anybody, you're going to make an advisory as a MAC that's going to be transmitted to the county, and then the county's going to make the ultimate decision. So they're going to be the ones that are going to have to, this law is going to apply to them under that context. Another thing this law is not going to apply to are competitively bid projects. So if we have a construction project that's coming up and Contractor X donated to everybody's campaign, you're not going to have to recuse yourself because that's a competitive bid process, and that's not going to affect
regulated
this law. It's regulated by a competitive bid law. Whereas an informal contract like with Ludorf and Scalmanini or something of that nature that's not competitively bid, that's going to impact us. Another interesting one that may impact us is leasing. So as we have a new building or we have empty space, if there's a lease that's going to come up and we're going to make a decision on that lease, then at that point in time, that's going to be a conflict under this new law and you have to recuse yourself.
So for clarity though, that is a contribution that is given to your campaign committee.
That's correct.
Okay.
And it's only for a 12-month period, is that correct? Not
so it's
your
entire
term that you serve?
Yeah, the look back's 12 months. So you take in the contribution today, 12 months you look back, and it's also 12 months you look forward. So
okay.
from the date that you take the contribution, you can't do any, you have to recuse yourself for 12 months.
12 months ahead
forward.
Of you.
But if you also have to look 12 months back to figure out if did I take any contributions.
Got it. So if you took a contribution and you made a decision 12 months ago.
13 no, it's not gonna, it's not, doesn't look backwards. It's only
forward. Forwards, okay.
So if you take a contribution today, 13 months from now, that party or somebody comes, you can make a decision.
And this never come before this board before, but there have been, the example Andy gave is there have been residences outside of the district that have come to us and said, hey, can you, they want to get rid of the septic tank across the street over here. And they've come to us and said, Aaron, you remember this. We want to know if we can get into your system, which would have meant that we would have had to run a pipe underneath Highway 4 over it. Well, we had to vote on that. So that would be an example of what Andy was using. It'd be very rare that it would affect us, but and ultimately what happened was that was way too expensive and they stayed with their septic tank because they were going to have to pay for obviously everything that would need to be done. But the fact that we don't have land use authority, it's just something to be aware of and be careful. That's all.
It's aware of, be careful with us when I'm thinking of annexations, out of boundary leases, and contracts with contractors that we're doing work with within the town.
Right.
So any kind of contract. So land use is what it's billed as, and you see that out in the open. But it really goes back to any contract.
Does the county have the same issue?
Now all elected officials in California now. That's what this law did.
Wow.
It's really
from a supervisory position, man, they take money
difficult.
From a lot of developers and stuff.
Yeah, that's going to make it extremely difficult.
There could be three or four, they can only have two people that could vote on an issue. That'd be weird.
It's really an attempt to take money out of the decision-making process and to lower people's contributions to local levels.
Well,
it's a weird law, but we're making everybody aware of it.
I think Brian's the only one that raised $15,000 for his election this year. All right, thank you for that presentation. Andy, do you have anything to add to that, Dina?
Yeah.
Everybody, any questions from the board on that?
No, thank you.
it'll be more, you'll have more questions when it gets closer to re-election time. All right, moving down, we have anything, anybody wants to comment, I through M, anybody want to bring anything up? In that case, I would adjourn the meeting.